Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Extra Innings Podcast, where today we'll be continuing the series that we have started maybe, I think, 8 or 9 episodes ago right now, and just keep going over every single team's 2020 offseason and see if they improved their team or just got worse. Today's episode will focus on the Colorado Rockies, and I'm going to come off the bat and say it. They did not make a lot of moves in the 2020 offseason. Just a bunch of re-signings, and so we'll talk about them, whether they should have re-signed, should have not re-signed, and, you know, we'll just try to see what the projection for 2020 would look like if we were playing 162 games. So in 2019, the Rockies went 71-91 with a 43-38 home record and a 28-53 road record, and they came fourth in the NL West. Now, don't get me wrong, this NL West is very challenging. It's not an easy division to be in by any means. You know, you have the up-and-coming Diamondbacks, you have the Padres who are up-and-coming, even though they had a down year in 2019. But then, of course, you have the always powerful Los Angeles Dodgers, who will probably win this division, in my opinion, for the next at least 3-4 years. And that's just short-term. I think they're probably one of the best teams in baseball, and they're going to stay that way for a while, so Rockies, you know, their chance of winning the NL West not really high, but, you know, they could slide in as a second wildcard spot, but I don't really see it happening with the way they did it with the 2020 moves. But, you know, looking at that home record, yeah, I expect it to be above 500. You know, home numbers are going to be inflated when it comes to Coors Field because of the thin air and the elevation that happens in Colorado. I expect that, you know. I would hope that a home record for any team would have always be above 500, because that is your home field. That is the field that you know the best. It's the field that you play at the most. It's the field that you're most comfortable with. So I would hope that any home record is better. 5 games above 500, I wish it would be a little higher, but I get it that the road teams really do have a benefit when they play a Coors Field. You know, when they're on the road, it doesn't feel like it's such a terrible road game because the ball flies out of the park. What's really alarming is that 28-53 road record. To be that many games below 500 on the road, it just says a lot about your team. It says that you really can't win away from home. To lose 53 games away from Coors Field is astonishing. I didn't know. I knew they had a rough road record, but I didn't know it was that bad. I didn't know that they lost 53 games on the road and only won 28. You know, out of 81 games, to only win 28 of them, it's alarming. The Rockies should be, Rockies fans, Rockies players, they should, you know, I get it, the transition from going somewhere where, you know, you're playing in Coors where the ball flies and it's a hitter's park where we're used to scoring 6 to 10 runs a game, and then you go on the road and, you know, you go to a pitcher-friendly ballpark like Citi Field or a Safeco Field or a PNC Park. I understand that it's difficult for pitchers and even hitters to go from one to another, but that crazy split can happen if you're trying to be a competitive baseball team in the MLB. So, of course, 71-91 is a tough record to look at, especially with you see how much talent is on this team, and to be 20 games below 500, it's something to look at, and maybe a change should have been made, but we'll talk about what they did, maybe why a change wasn't made, and if a change is going to come in the future. So, we're going to start off by them re-signing their closer or setup man, depending on who they decide to put in their closer role, Scott Oberg. In 2019, Scott Oberg had a 2.25 ERA in 56 innings pitched with 58 strikeouts and a 1.107 ERA. He was a 2.4 win player. He played really well. I just have to put it out there. He played really well. I think if he didn't play in Colorado, this is probably all-star reliever numbers. You know, a sub-2.3, sub-2.5 ERA even. You know, his best ERA to date, really consistent on innings, doesn't give up a lot of home runs, only gave up 5 in 2019. He walks, you know, a little higher than normal. He walked 23 batters in 2019, but he struck out 58, which is a career high for him. His whip was 1.1, which is absolutely beautiful. You know, it's a little higher from 2018, which he pitched to a 0.97 whip. But a 1.1, trust me, is up there with the best. His strikeouts per nine is 9.3, so you put him out there for 9 innings, you project him to strike out 9.3 batters. He only has a 3.7 walks per nine. He has a 0.8 home runs per nine, which is beautiful. doesn't give up home runs, doesn't give up a lot of hits, and he does his job out there. They re-signed him to a 2-year deal with a 3-year deal with an opt-in, with a club option, I'm assuming, for 2023, so it could turn into a 4-year deal, depending on how he plays. He's entering his age 30 season. He's going to be around 33 by the time that contract ends up. And then he'll probably get one more decently sized contract in his career, depending on how he plays. If he plays well, he'll get one more, I'd say around 3 to 4 year deal, and then probably that'll be it because he'll be entering his age 38, 39 season. But I do like the signing. I like Scott Oberg as a player. I think he goes underrated because of where he plays. I think he plays in Colorado. A lot of people, it's hard to play there for pitchers. For hitters, they love it. But for pitchers, you think you throw a good pitch, he makes decent contact, the ball's going out of the park. So I have a lot of respect for pitchers who pitch in cores, and it's definitely probably the hardest place to pitch in when it comes to pitching. Camden Yards is up there as well, but I think the air just really carries baseballs in cores, and it's tough for pitchers. It really is, and I think a lot of pitchers' careers have been ruined in cores, or not ruined, but not taken to the level they could have been taken to because of where they're playing. So, but I do like the Scott Oberg signing, and I do rate it pretty highly. Next, they re-signed John Gray and Kyle Freeland, so they're really locking up their starters. They re-signed them to a 1-year deal to avoid arbitration, but I do expect them to re-sign at least one of these players when their time comes to actually get a large contract. I think they'll probably go with Kyle Freeland if they can't go with both. But we'll talk about Kyle Freeland first because I think he's the better pitcher. In 2019, he had one awful year. He went 3-11 with a 6.73 ERA in 104 1/3 innings pitch with 79 strikeouts and a 1.5 whip. Now, Kyle Freeland in 2019, awful. I think pitching in Coors Field got to him. But in 2018, he was fourth in Cy Young voting. He was 17-7 with a 2.85 ERA in 33 games and over 200 innings pitched. In that season, he struck out 173 batters with a 1.245 whip. And to have a whip sub 1.3 in Coors Field is absolutely phenomenal. I'm sure his home road splits really showed a lot, and I know they did because when I looked at them last year, he pitched better on the road, of course, but he did pitch efficiently at home, which is something that you need out of a Colorado Rockies starter. So I think 2019 was just down year for him. I really do expect him to pick it up. He's only entering his age 27 season, and I think that he could be the guy for Colorado. You know, his win-loss will never really be there. He'll always hover around the 500 win-loss, but if he can keep that ERA to a sub-3, if he can keep the whip to a sub-1.3, 1.4, get over 200 innings, be that consistent pitcher that they need, you know, I don't know if he's a one pitcher, but at least a two or a three pitcher, that's the guy that they need out there in Colorado because it's tough to keep consistent pitching out there just because of, I'll repeat it over and over again, just how hard it is to pitch in that stadium. Next, we have John Gray, who in 2019 had a much better year than Kyle Freeland. He went 11-8 with a 3.84 ERA in 25 games started. He pitched 150 innings flat with 150 strikeouts, so that is exactly a 9 strikeout per inning pitcher. He was a 3.6 win player with a 1.35 whip. He pitched absolutely phenomenal. Watching him, you know, navigate pitches in Coors Field is something unreal to do. You know, he had a good 2018, but he did pitch to a high ERA, but he did win games for the Colorado Rockies. He brought that ERA down. He brought it back to a similar ERA that he had in 2017. He was consistent. You know, I want to see him pitch more innings. 150 innings in 25 games. Obviously, it's not bad. I think it's actually pretty normal for 25 games, but I want to see him pitch over 30 games. I want to see him get to that 200 mark like Kyle Freeland, because if you can lock up John Gray and Kyle Freeland where they're both pitching over 200 innings or at least close to it, maybe 180, 185 to over 200, both pitching to a sub 3.5 ERA, both pitching to a sub 1.3, 1.4 whip, you know, both not giving up extreme home runs. You know, John Gray only gave up 19 home runs in 2019. And Kyle Freeland gave up a little more with 25, but if they can both give up under 20 home runs in the park they pitch in with all those numbers I previously stated, you got a good 1-2 punch right there in Kyle Freeland and John Gray. So I think locking them up long-term should be on the Colorado Rockies' mind. I know you have some time with arbitration and renewable contracts, but I think it should be on their mind. I think, you know, they're both young, entering their prime. John Gray's entering his 28th season. Kyle Freeland is entering his 27th season. You know, you got to lock these guys up. They've proved that they can pitch in Coors Field, you know. I think you give Kyle Freeland one more year to really show that he's not, that 2018 was not a fluke and that he is a real viable option for the Colorado Rockies. And I think you got to lock these guys both up. Next, they re-signed Trevor Story to a 2-year contract to avoid arbitration and to lock him up for just a little while longer. Trevor Story, when he came onto the scene, I remember he went on this crazy, crazy streak of hitting home runs daily. In 2019, another phenomenal year, hitting .294 with a .363 on base, a .554 slugging, a .917 OPS with 35 home runs, 85 RBIs. With 23 stolen bases, he was a 6.1 win above replacement player. This is, I don't know how more to put it, he's an all-star. He was a silver slugger. He came 12th in MVP voting, back-to-back all-star nods. You know, been in the MVP top 12 for the past 2 years, been a silver slugger 2 times in 2 years. The guy knows how to hit a baseball, and he hits it at an electric pace. He is so far ahead of the pack when it comes to shortstops and elite shortstops. I think this is another guy you have to lock up for a long time, and I know they only signed for a 2-year, but you have to lock Trevor Story up for as long as you possibly can. He's entering his age 27 season. He's only going to get better from here. He's learned how to hit in Coors Field. He's learned how to hit away from Coors Field, which is the biggest thing, because a lot of people can hit in Coors, but the question is, can you hit away from Coors? And he definitely has proved that he can do that. He's, you know, I don't know if he'll ever win a Gold Glove, but he is above average on the defensive end. His range is phenomenal. You know, he makes some throws. That left side of that infield, you know, with Nolan Arenado and Trevor Story, that is a scary left side. I think it's one of the best left sides of an infield in the entire base, in the entire MLB. You have to lock this guy up. You have to. Every time he gets to the plate, he's a threat to either hit a home run, you know, hit an extra base hit. If there's a man on third, chances are he's going to bring him in if there's less than 2 outs. If you're up by 2 and, you know, there's 1 man on, he has a chance of tying it. 2 men on, he has a chance of taking the lead. He's someone that you can't even pitch around because who hits behind him, Nolan Arenado. And it's not like Nolan is an easy out himself. So, and we'll talk about Nolan's stats and how, what might happen with Nolan Arenado in this season or in next season or in the offseason of 2021. But Trevor Story needs to get locked up. More than 2 years, please. Colorado, don't screw this one up. This is your franchise shortstop. Lock him up for good. Next, they re-signed David Dahl, who is their starting center fielder, to a 1-year deal to avoid arbitration. David Dahl in 2019 hit 15 home runs with a .302 batting average, a .353 on-base percentage, a .524 slugging, and an .877 OPS with 61 RBIs. David Dahl does his job. I'll be honest. He does his job, and he does it really well. He was an all-star in 2019. He does his job, and you can't ask more out of him. 15 home runs out of a center fielder who is, you know, really covers defensively. If you look at he just does his job in center field. He does it. He's not the greatest outfielder you will see. He's not, you know, he does look a little sloppy out there at times, but he's only entering his age 26 season. He is going to get better offensively. He is going to get better defensively. I like David Dahl. I like the system that he's in out there in Colorado. And while I said in the beginning of this episode that Colorado did not make any crazy moves, and I still do believe that, they re-signed their guys. They didn't let guys walk. You know, they let Yonder Alonso walk, and I was going to talk about it, but I don't think it's a big deal to let Yonder Alonso walk. It's going to be some power that you're not going to have, but I don't think it's such a huge deal. They signed who they had to sign. They're saving up their money, you know, because Nolan Arenado, believe it or not, cost a lot of money. He's on a crazy contract, and he cost a lot of money. And it's hard to pay someone $26 million per year, only going up because I'm sure that contract was backloaded. So they're saving their money. They're spending. They're I don't want to say they're cheap, but they're being smart with how they're allocating the money that they have in their budget. So I do like the David Dahl re-signing, but there's gonna be a time when they're gonna have to lock up these guys for long term. So the question is, how do you do that? Because you're gonna have to lock up Are you going to re-sign Nolan Arenado when his contract's up? Are you going to re-sign Trevor Story? Are you going to re-sign Kyle Freeland and John Gray? Are you going to re-sign David Dahl? There's going to be guys like Chuck Nasty and Charlie Blackman who, you know, his contract's going to run out too sometime, so you got to pay him, and then you got to pay Herman Marquez. And that bullpen has a lot of guys that you're going to have to pay. So the Rockies are looking financially, they're looking good right now, but looking towards the future, they're going to have to let some of these guys go, and that's going to be a tough decision. I hope they, you know, they really have to solidify that starting rotation. And I think if it comes to be, if I had a choice of two out of the three of Kyle Freeland, John Gray, and David Dahl, I'm probably taking the two starting pitchers because it's easy to find outfielders. It's very hard to find pitchers who can pitch in Coors Field. But enough talk about that. That is actually all the moves that the Colorado Rockies have made in the 2020 offseason. I'm going to go over their depth chart with you guys real quick, and then I'm going to grade their 2020 offseason, and I'm going to give you a projection for their 2020 record based off a 162-game scale. So, for the Colorado Rockies, their starting pitching rotation is Herman Marquez is the number one, John Gray is the number two, Kyle Freeland as the number three, Antonio Senzatella as the number four, and Jeff Hoffman as the number five. You know, I look at this, you have one lefty in Freeland, you have four righties. I don't think the righty-lefty matchups really matter in Colorado, in my opinion, so I don't mind having four righties in a rotation. As long as you have one lefty, I really think it's fine. This is a good rotation to have in Colorado. You know, Herman Marquez, I like him as a pitcher. I think he's a really good player. I know I'm gonna read you these guys' ERAs, but it's not, you have to understand that where they're pitching is not easy to do. So if they have a above 4 or 5, you know, I would ideally it should be under a 4, but you know, Herman Marquez in 2019, 12-5 with a 4.76 ERA in 174 innings pitched. He had 175 strikeouts and a 1.2 whip. You really can't ask more out of your starting pitcher in Colorado than that. Of course, you want to get a sub 4, a sub 4.5 even ERA, but he pitched really well. Antonio Senzatella is another player that I'm really a fan of. In 2019, of course, he had a rough year with a 6.71 ERA, but his whip was a little high as well. But he went 11-11. He won them games at times. And Jeff Hoffman is, you know, he's a good number five. Another very high ERA out of Jeff Hoffman, a 6.56 ERA with a 1.59 whip. So really, the only two really, really consistent pitchers in 2019 for the Colorado Rockies were Herman Marquez and John Gray. But I do expect Kyle Freeland and Jeff Hoffman to bounce back. I don't know about Antonio Senzatella, but you do have Chichi Gonzalez, who can take over for him if needed as that number four, number five pitcher. So I expect Marquez and John Gray to continue their success. And I expect Freeland to return to his 2018 form. And I expect Senzatella to even out that ERA to probably a sub 4.5. That win loss is probably going to be above 500, and that whip to be at under 1.4. So the Rockies are looking good rotation wise. Bullpen, you have Scott Oberg and Wade Davis as your either setup man, closer setup man, whichever way they want to do it. You have Jairo Diaz, you have Carlos Estevez, you have Yency Almonte, Brian Shaw, Jake McGee, James Pezos, and Philip Deal. Now, this is a really good, once again, this is a really good bullpen. You have two, you know, you can consider them top upper echelon closers when it comes in Oberg and Wade Davis. I don't know if you put Wade Davis in there anymore, but I would put Oberg as in one of the upper echelon relievers in the league. You have a guy like Yency Almonte who pitches really, you know, he throws hard. You have a guy like Jake McGee. I love Jake McGee. I play with him on MLB The Show all the time. You know, watching him pitch. You have lefties. Lefties are important. You know, they only have two in McGee and Philip Deal. But once again, like I said, I don't think lefties mean so much, but I do think Jake McGee's being a lefty specialist does help. I think it does help. You have a guy like James Pezos who is also a lefty. My mistake. I'm looking at the righty-lefty switches, like the batting and throwing, and I misread James Pezos. So you have three lefties in that bullpen, actually. So they are set on the lefty-righty in the bullpen, and it's looking like a good bullpen. Their pitching in general, while it happens to be their problem at times because of where they play, if you put them in, I don't know, PNC Park, let's say, if you transfer the Colorado Rockies to the Pittsburgh Pirates, they have an above 500 team. On paper, they are an above 500 team. They're definitely not a bottom 15 team in the league and a 20 game under 500 team. That's definitely not them. But you know, it just happened to be where they play. Catcher, you have Tony Walters. I don't like. I mean, he is what it is. He's not a productive power hitter. He gets on base at times. He does his job behind the plate. I think that's really the major thing. He knows how to call a good game, and that's all that matters, especially from your catcher in Colorado. You just need to call a good game. First base, you have Daniel Murphy. You know, his power production has been dropping off, but he does hit for average, and he's a good defensive first baseman. He makes a lot of plays defensively at first base. You know, he hit .279 in 2019 with 13 home runs and 78 RBIs. His OPS was a .780, and his on-base was a .328. Look, he's obviously going to decline a little bit. He's getting up there in age. He's 35 years old, entering his age 36 season. But he does his job. He does his job, and he does it well. And I think he fits really well in the system. Obviously, you're going to need a first baseman to take over him eventually. Who is that right now? I don't know. But I'm sure they'll find one. And Murphy does his job. Second base, you got Ryan McMahon. I'm really, really a fan of Ryan McMahon. In 2019, he hit for .250 with a .329 on base, a .779 OPS with 24 home runs and 83 RBIs. The guy does everything offensively and defensively. I wanted to bring that average up to above a .275, but if he can do that, keep the power numbers at around 25 home runs, keep the RBIs at around, I don't know, 80 to 85, steal a little more bases. I know he has the speed to steal at least 10 to 15 bases a year. He is their probably second baseman of the future. He's only 25. I'm a fan of Ryan McMahon, really a fan. Of course, third base, you have the guy himself, Nolan Arenado. And I'm going to read you Nolan's stats in 2019. He hit .315 with a .379 on base, a .583 slugging, a .962 OPS with 41 home runs, 118 RBIs, and he was a 6.7 win player. These are literally video game numbers out of Nolan Arenado. He was an all-star for the 5th consecutive year. He was 6th in MVP voting. He should not have been that high. And he was a gold glover for the 7th time in his career. He hasn't missed a season with a gold glove. 7 years in the league, 7 gold gloves. 7 years in the league, 5 all-stars. 7 years in the league, 4 silver sluggers. This guy is the epitome of consistently an elite player. Now, the news I was talking about. There was talks the entire offseason that the Cardinals were going to acquire Nolan Arenado from the Colorado Rockies for a package that possibly could have consisted of Dakota Hudson, Tommy Edman, Matthew Liberatore, and possibly Andrew Kisner. Now, I don't know if Kisner would have been a part of that at the end of it, but I do think the Rockies should do this. No matter how much I praise this guy, you're going to need to pay him more money. And you're going to need to pay everyone else around him more money. Like a Trevor Story, like a David Dahl, like a John Gray, like a Kyle Freeland, etc. and etc. And you're not going to have the money to do that when you have $30+ million locked up into Nolan Arenado. You get the package for him. You're going to get Matthew Liberatore, who is one of the best pitching prospects in all of baseball. And you need pitching in Colorado. You're going to get a guy like Dakota Hudson, who had an okay year in 2019, but had a good year in 2018. He's a consistent three, especially in this rotation. He could be a number two pitcher, number three pitcher in this rotation. He's a number four in St. Louis right now. He could probably bump up to a number two, number three in Colorado. And you're going to get a guy like Tommy Edman, who is a utility guy, and he's not going to cost you a lot of money. His power production will probably decrease a little bit, but his overall average will not decrease. He's a good defensive player. You can put him at third base to replace Nolan Arenado if you want. You can play him in the outfield. You can play him at second base. You can play him. He's played a little bit of shortstop as well. He's really that known utility guy on the St. Louis Cardinals. And he really carried. He was the reason the Cardinals made the playoffs this year and even made it to the NLCS. So do I think if the trade arises again, you get a similar package to that? I think you take it. I think you just have to pull the trigger and say, you know what, Nolan really served us well, and we're going to lose probably the best or the second best third baseman in all of baseball, but the package we're going to get back for it is going to be worth it for our future long term. And I know a lot of Colorado Rockies fans are going to hate that. How can you give up Nolan Arenado? The guy's the best third baseman in baseball, and you're right. He's defensively, offensively, the guy is just a freak of nature. And I understand that. But you have to think about, you know, your future. You have to think about your future. You have to think about, because right now with Nolan, they're not winning baseball games, you know? So, you know, it's tough. It is hard. I get that. But you have to do what you have to do for the betterment of your future organization. Okay, we're going to continue down the depth chart. We have shortstop Trevor Story, who we went over. Dude's a beast. You got to lock him up long term. Left field, probably Ian Desmond is going to start over Raimel Tapia. Raimel Tapia does have the speed of Ian Desmond. He just has the bat that you need in that lineup. Center field will be David Dahl, like I said. And right field will be Charlie Blackman, who I am a huge fan of, Chuck Nasty. So, to grade their 2020, a B minus or a C plus. I don't think they did it. They just didn't do really anything. They just re-signed guys and are hoping that 2019 was a fluke. And I do believe that it was, but not enough to the point to get them into the, you know, to get them into the playoffs. Like, I'm gonna grade them a B minus C plus, but I'm gonna bump those numbers up from 2019. This team is an 80-win team no matter how you look at it. I think they are a sub-500 team, but not by a lot. I think, realistically, okay, so if everything goes according to their plan, they're an above-500 team. Because that road record can even out to around 35, 40 wins on the road. I think it really can. You know, even if you go even on the road, right? You go 41 and 41 on the road. That's okay, because if you go 41 and 41 on the road plus 43 wins at home, you're an above 500 team with 84 wins. Will it sneak you into the wild card? Probably not with how many teams are in the NL wild card fighting for it. But it could, you know, if everyone has a down year and they have a really solid year, 84, 85 wins can really sneak you into that second wild card spot. And then you know, there's magic to be made when you're in that wild card game. So my jump that I'm going to give them, though, if everything goes according to plan, I'm going to give them 85 wins. If everything goes according to plan, pitching comes back to normal, hitter, like guys like Tony Walters and Ryan McMahon, if Tony Walters can pick up the production, Ryan McMahon keeps the production, Daniel Murphy plays to the level he can still play at, I'm going to go 85 and 77. I think that road record evens out to around a 41 and 41 record, or probably slightly below 500 average, with probably, you know, maybe a 39 and 43, you know, road record. But that's if everything pans out. If everything doesn't pan out, I'm going to give them an 80 and 82 record. I just don't know if they're going to get enough production offensively. I don't know if they're going to get enough production from their starting pitching. Because when your pitcher's giving up 6 earned runs a game, you got to have to score 7 to win the game. And while they have been doing it, it's hard to keep that up. So, once again, if everything goes according to plan, 85 and 77. If everything doesn't go according to plan, 80 and 82. That's my personal prediction for 2020 based on 162 game scale. There's grade for 2020 is a C+, B-. I just don't think they did enough. They really didn't do anything. You know, I talked about five moves in reality. That's all I really talked about this episode, and it was all re-signings. So, once again, I thank you guys so much for taking time out of your day to listen to me. Right now, I am, hopefully when you're listening to this, I will be accepted to Apple Podcasts. I will be accepted to Spotify. I'm on CastBox. I'm on YouTube. I'm everywhere. All the links will be in the description. Thank you guys so much once again for taking the time out of your day to listen to me and my opinions about baseball and the Colorado Rockies. So hope you guys enjoyed, and I'll see you on the next one.